May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to God. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as you all know, this is a very special day. It's the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. The day of Pentecost is when the church's witness to the reign of God above the reigns of this world began. This day reminds us who we are. Beloved of God, followers of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, many wear red to honor the presence of the Spirit among us. Today, of course, is also Memorial Day weekend. On Monday, our nation honors the courage and grief and trauma of war and military service. We celebrate Memorial Day as a pledge that we do not take this service lightly. We remember many with love on this day, and we promise that these losses will never be forgotten. As it happens, May 24th is also the day when John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed on Aldersgate Street. Wesley was a Church of England priest who led a revival of Christian discipleship. His work eventually led to the founding of the Methodist Church, but he was an Anglican clergyman until the day he died. And the Episcopal Church grew out of that Church of England tradition, and so we honor Wesley as one of our ancestors in the faith. And on the Episcopal Church calendar of saints, May 24th is also the feast day of one of my heroes of the faith, Jackson Kemper. Bishop Kemper was the first missionary bishop of the Episcopal Church. He established the Episcopal Church in what were then very far-off places like Missouri and Indiana. When a feast day falls on a Sunday, we celebrate it on the next day, on Monday, but May 24th is his actual day. And all of that, of course, is far more important in our life together than anything else, but as I'm sure you also know, today is also the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500. The largest single-day sporting event in the world and the only one I truly love. Fox Sports took over the broadcast rights last year. All 17 races in the season are now shown on network TV for free. I have watched them all, and you can too. Alex Palou continues to dominate. He has won 11 of the last 23 races, including last year's Indy 500. He has come in second on 5 more. He won the whole series for the last 3 years and is on track, so to speak, to do it again. He's on the pole today, meaning his car is the fastest one that qualified. If no one else hits him, he's likely to win again. Now, I could go on. I know a lot about this sport. Feel free to ask me later, though I don't stay for coffee hour very long on this day. But the question on most of your minds, I know, is why? Why does anyone enjoy a sport that costs millions of dollars and can be dangerous and is not exactly environmentally friendly and basically involves driving in circles? Why would anyone be a race fan? Now, I cannot speak for all 350,000 people at the track today or for the millions more watching on TV, but for me, it comes down to one word: power. The power of the engines, the power of the teams, the power you can see when a car is whipping through the air at speeds above 220 miles an hour. Motorsports celebrates power. Jackson Kemper traveled on horseback to spread the gospel all over Indiana. I'm sure he was near 16th and Georgetown at some point. He moved at 1 horsepower. Today's Indy cars produce over 800 horsepower. Top speeds in qualifying hit 242 miles per hour this year, over a football field a second. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, on the other hand, packs around 300 horsepower, top speeds in the Weenie 500, and I promise this is a real thing, hovered around 60, still very impressive for a vehicle shaped like a hot dog. But consider with me, Wienermobiles and IndyCars both inhabit the same natural world. They operate under the same laws of physics. In theory, a Wienermobile could harness just as much power as an IndyCar. It would have to let go of some of its cargo and be designed a little differently, but the potential is there, isn't it? IndyCars use their power to go really fast. Wienermobiles use their power to advertise hot dogs. But the same power is available to both. It is available to all. At his ascension, according to the book of Acts, Jesus promised to give the disciples power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And 10 days later, the power arrived. The disciples experienced it in physical and tangible ways, wind and flames and speech. All of which, incidentally, are present at the Speedway. I am not equating the day of Pentecost with an auto race, but the sound and visual effects are similar. The rush of a mighty wind. A fire that burns and propels you forward. The roar of thousands of voices from many places. The Holy Spirit arrived with a mighty display of power. And it was just what those disciples needed. Followers of Jesus and many people living in that time often felt very powerless. They lived under an empire that kept doing one horrific thing after another. They were crushed by heavy taxes that paid for palaces. They struggled to buy food. They had no access to health care. If they got sick, they had to keep working. They had no real hope that things were going to get better anytime soon. But on this day, God showed them how much power they actually had. They were not helpless and hopeless. They were backed by the mighty Spirit of God. And they realized this power had been with them all along. The wind reminded them of creation when God breathed the breath of life and made humans come alive. They were still filled with God's breath. The fire reminded them of Moses and the burning bush and the journey to freedom. They were still led by the same God who works always to set people free. The ability to understand different languages was an undoing of the separation that had occurred at the Tower of Babel. They were still part of one humanity, still able to come together to accomplish great things. God's Spirit was doing what God's Spirit had always done, giving life and setting people free and bringing people together. And that's how you know it is God's Spirit at work and not some other kind. If someone is using their power to enhance life rather than destroy it, and lift burdens rather than keep people down, and bring people together rather than divide, that is God's power at work. And so Peter tapped into that power right away. He preached a simple message straight from the scriptures, the record of what God had been doing all along. Over 3,000 people were baptized, and the church was born on that day. And here we are, thousands of years later. Friends, I know we're living in strange and distressing times. Many are weighed down by news that feels like it gets worse. Many are struggling to get by. Many are facing challenges that are hard to know how to handle. We don't know what the future will bring. It's tempting sometimes to feel powerless. But on this day, we remember that God has been here before. God knows how to deal with change and war and turmoil. We are backed by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power is given to us in baptism. It flows out of us like water that can't be contained. And so tap into the power of God's Spirit. And if you can, try to do that in an IndyCar kind of way rather than a Wienermobile kind of way. Let go of the things that weigh you down. Get focused. Take deep, deep breaths. Honor the things that make you angry and the hopes that burn within you. Move forward with others, knowing that you are not alone. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower us for this time. Amen.